And that was very high-pitched. Hello, and welcome to Espacito, the Espagenesis podcast. I am John, as ever, your illustrious, your sparkling, your delightful dungeon master. Yes, me. I'm wonderful, aren't I? Just the best. This is actually the first week in, I think, since the pandemic started, that I've not played Espacito or D&D at all, and it's awful. I feel itchy. But luckily, we did have this episode pre-recorded, so here you go. But yeah, I need some of them dice rolls in my veins. Send them my way or something. That's it. Here's the episode. Things are really ramping up. We're getting to the end of the campaign, so I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am, and as much as I assume the guys are, because they should be. Because I put a lot of work into it. Put some work into it. I turn up. Enjoy the episode. So, quick recap. Recap-a-rooney. You got back aboard the Golden Rose and made your way through the fight that kicked off between the Promethean and Infinity Corps ships versus the Eldorae 7th Fleet. You managed to get into the docking bay of the Crucible, where rather than get out and fight the dozen or so footmen that were in there, you just crashed the ship through the rear wall and created a vacuum into space. Which was great. Then you donned your EV suits. EV?
EVA.
EVA, sorry. I don't know where that came from. I forgot the letter EVD. A.
Eva.
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 You got the lift. And the lift doors open. You decided to split up because there was... Basically, it seemed like there's a corridor that runs the circumference of the Crucible. So you split up into two groups and headed off. Very stealthily, but clearly someone was ready. And I think it was Dora basically tipped someone off a fragmentation grenade. That would be really disappointing. A flashbang roll round and blinded Dora for 1 minute, although you do get to make a saving throw at the end of each of your turns.
Lovely.
And on the other side of this, Rebook and Dumas spotted that there were some people waiting to ambush them. So we've got Dora and Hud ready to face off against people that are attacking them, and Rebook and Dumas have spotted that there is someone there that they can probably get the better of. You've also heard the from behind you. So I guess roll initiative.
A 21 for me.
I'm sad. I don't know where my good dice is. Oh, it's there.
It's a 15 for Rebook.
23 for Dumas.
And a 19 for Rebook's drone.
And Dora, what did you get?
4.
Okay, good.
Well, it's not, is it?
Well, no, it's not great.
It's pretty woeful.
Pretty terrible. Okay, well, first up is Dumas.
You're going to hate me, but can you just give me a rundown again of what I can see?
The corridor that you're in is gently curving. There's no particular features or fittings. There's no light. It's just kind of warmly lit with this semi-reflective glassy surface that makes up the floor, the ceiling, and the walls. And you can just about see the edge of a boot round the corner. Stretching out behind you, you can't see anything behind you, but you do know that Hud and Dora went that way, and you have heard a dull explosion.
Okay, so it's just me and Rebook, is it?
And the drone as well.
And the drone, okay. What can I see if I move forward 15 feet? Can I see a bit more? Or
if you move forward 15 feet, you can see two Eldorae that seem to be prepared for a fight.
How far away are they?
They're about 20 feet away.
Okay, I will move forward another 10 feet.
Okay.
And I am going to cast a spell.
On who?
On both of them.
Okay.
Why are you smiling?
Because I said, you cast a spell, and I said, on who?
Oh, I thought you were just doing that evil DM thing where, like,
no, no.
I'm about to fuck up your plans.
I was being dumb, Tom.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought you were doing a thing. Okay, I'm going to cast Frost Coil on them.
Ooh, fun.
So, like, I sort of raise my hands up and fire a burst of, I guess, frost out of them. And they both need to make a con save.
So the first one gets a natural one, so... Second one gets a five. So I'm assuming they both fail.
They do. So they both take 17 points of damage.
Nice.
As I frost out of my hands. And I look really impressed because I think we're at the very end of the campaign. I think that's the first time I've caused damage with a spell.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad I got that in there.
Lashes out and wraps around them, and you can see fringes of them start to ice over, and then it sort of shatters and breaks, and you can see like that the ice is caught and has pulled bits of skin apart, and there's a lot of blood. It looks like they're quite hurt.
Oh yay! I look at Reboot, and I think Reboot will find it really obvious, the glee in my eyes, that I've actually done that.
Okay, next up is Hud. So Hud, you've not seen anyone yet, but you managed to shield your eyes as this flashbang went off. And you can see Dora next to you is covering her eyes, shouting quite loudly.
Is she standing in the middle of the corridor?
Yeah, it's not a particularly wide corridor.
Well, I'm going to grab her and like pull her against the wall. Because so, if she's blind, I just say to her, stay here. And then I'm going to move up, carrying on in the direction that we were going down the corridor. And I want to see what I can see.
So same thing, about 15 feet down the corridor, as it's curving around, you get more of a glimpse of these two Eldora that are there. You can see them pretty clearly now.
They're just two of them?
Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, I'm going to shoot my grenade launcher at them.
Okay.
Twice. So... with grenade launcher, it lets me make a ranged weapon attack using my dexterity to launch the grenade instead of making an athletics check. Okay. So they're within 60 feet, so it's a DC of 12. Yeah, grenades are a bit funky. So I've got to hit a DC of 12 to hit them with my
grenade. And then they need to make a dex saving throw to avoid.
Yep. So hit them with the first one with a 26.
Mm-hmm.
And hit with the second one with a 27. So, yeah, they both got to make two DC 14 dexterity saving throws, taking full damage on a failed save or half as much on a successful one.
Okay, and these are frag grenades, yeah?
Yes.
So it's a D6 damage.
2D6 piercing.
Right, okay. So the first one succeeds on one save and fails the other, and the second one fails both. So the first one sees you doing this and dives out the way, but is still caught in the back by the second explosion pretty hard. And the second one has no idea that this is coming and is stood right next to these grenades as they explode.
What a dick. First grenade is... do I have my dexterity to damage?
No. Not with grenades, from what I remember.
Cool. So that's 8 for the first grenade. So one of them takes full 8, the other one takes 4.
Yep.
And then second one, 2 for the next one.
See, I'm still really disappointed in grenades. I feel like they should do more damage than they do.
Yeah, that was a bit lackluster.
But you've made some loud noises, and there's been some loud noises had by all. Next up, the two that are facing off against Dumas. So one is going to move up to Dumas to within melee, dropping his auto rifle as he does and drawing his grand blade. And it's going to take two swipes at you. First one is an 18 to hit.
Yeah.
That hits, didn't it?
Yeah, it does. Sorry, I'm humming Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
All right. The second one missed. And it's eight.
Hit me with your best shot. Thanks for that, Mike.
There's no worries. I'm here for you. I got you.
That's all we can sing without getting sued.
I don't think that was probably close enough to the original to get YouTube filters aren't going to pick it up. Maybe if I just sing it off key.
Yeah, I think we're fine then.
I mean, that was pretty off key, right?
Yeah, you take 11 points of damage from that, Tom.
Bam, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
And the second one is going to move further round, spot Rebook, and throw his dice everywhere.
Oh no.
You fool.
He's going to fire at you twice with his rifle. I think we're going to have a similar situation. One hits with a 20, not natural, and the other one misses with a 12.
That's correct.
I even need you guys to play that games with me. I can play it by myself.
Stop playing with yourself, John.
Right. God bless the visual medium.
And he deals 5 damage to you in a much more disappointing show of force.
That could have been worse.
So then we go to the drone. And you, actually. So I'm going to say, because it goes drone, then Rebook, you can just...
Sorry, did we take damage last session?
You shouldn't have done, no.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, you did, because something exploded on you. A console exploded on your face. It was hot.
Low-hanging fruit, John.
I know.
Yeah, the console blew out of my face, proper Star Trek style. Cool.
Yeah. You were thrown around, you sort of rolled around. There was a burn mark on your back for some reason. Real Star Trek.
But I didn't die, so I'm not a red shirt.
Blue or higher?
You're clearly a gold shirt. You're definitely in engineering.
Horrible, Trekkie bastard.
Where are we up to?
It's Rebook / drone's turn. You one after the other in turn order, so you can act interchangeably, I think.
Hurry up, man. I've got red shirts to kill.
Excellent. Oh, if we can interchange, that's good. Right, so the dude I can see, I'm going to bonus action Space Hunter's Mark.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to take 2 attacks with the cryo pistol.
Go on, then.
And hammering home that frost damage. It's like we've got a theme. I like it.
Yeah, this is... I was going to say something about cool move, but the moment's passed now.
Cool off.
Cool off.
Bank it, bank it.
Yeah, save these for when you've killed him. Jeez.
No, no, I mean after Dumas's chilling attack.
Yeah, but you're using the cryo... Oh.
Okay, we're a cool team. I'll save it.
Pace yourself.
I can't. I'm too excited.
This is all gold. Take your time.
We've got to think of some new witty cold-based one-liners now for when we kill them.
That was it.
Right, leave this to me. I'm workshopping.
Yeah, I'm going to take 2 attacks with the cryo pistol. So that's a 26.
That'll hit.
And a natural 1.
That'll miss.
So the first one is, because it's preferred enemy, that's 2d8. Terrible. 9 damage.
Okay. So you take a shot at this guy that's just opened fire on you with his rifle, and you clip him pretty squarely in the shoulder. He pulls back, and you can see it starting to freeze up a little bit there. The accumulated effect of all this cryo damage, it's taking its toll. And then the drone.
And then the drone's going to fly up to the same guy and take an attack at him as well.
If you make it bludgeoning, he might shatter.
Ooh. I don't think I have that option. It's slashing.
Okay.
Slashing, 21.
That'll hit.
Much more effective. 16 damage.
Describe how your drone kills this guy.
Just like viciously and vindictively, just drills into the frozen wound, bores its way inside.
Yeah, that'll do.
Does it have a witty one-liner?
Boop.
Classic drone.
Oh, drone. Lovely.
You can't say that anymore, drone.
He's from a different time.
I'm taking that as canon, and Tom's just got a really racist old-fashioned drone.
It's a 200-year-old drone. It's out of the time.
Constantly flying around beating the latest obscenities.
Safe for work R2-D2.
Okay. So then the guys that are facing off against Had and Dora are going to take their actions. The first one is going to recover himself, charge round, and he's going to move into melee with you, Had, and take two attacks. First one will miss. Second one will hit with a 23.
That will hit.
I knew it. And that does 9 damage as he runs up, fluffs it with the first one and kind of shoulder barges you, and then swings the sword against your chest as you pushed up against the wall. The other guy's taking a little bit longer to recover himself. So he runs around and sees Dora scrabbling around trying to find out what's going on and is going to take two shots at Dora. First one's a 20, not natural. Second one is a 14.
This one hits.
These guys are really hit and miss. Oh, hang on, something else for the other guy. This might impact him a little bit. So as he runs round, taking a little bit longer, and he draws up his rifle to attack, he manages to get one shot off. And Dory, you don't see this, but Hud, you glimpse it and you're not quite sure what happens. But the first shot fires out, and he's clearly missed. The second shot looks like it's about to hit, but then the bullets seem to slow for a couple of seconds, and it's long enough that Dora, reacting to these shots, moves to the other side of the corridor, and they just glide straight past when they should really have made a connection.
Oh, God damn it.
What?
Am I allowed to say anything at this moment in time? I need to wait for my turn.
You can shout stuff out.
I get on a comm bead and I say, the time-space event, they're localized, they're happening in here too.
So Dora didn't get hit.
Dora did not get hit.
Maybe they're on our side.
It's now Dora's go.
What bloody hell is going on? Cyberblast, straight down the corridor, blind, where the noise is coming from. Basically towards the shots.
All right, yeah, roll an attack with disadvantage.
Okay. That is an 18.
That's going to hit.
So I now have plus 10 to my attacks, which is pretty insane.
That's very insane.
So that's 2d10 damage. That's 6 damage. Terrible.
6?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, it's not plus 10 to the damage, it's plus 10 to the attack roll. Gotcha.
Yeah, no plus to the damage.
Okay. You are quite surprised to hear a cry of pain as you fire blindly down the corridor.
I point and laugh. Haha, got you, prick. I hope that's not you, Hud.
Roll a d20.
12.
You do think you've pointed in the right direction. You can also make your saving throw again, so that is, just to remind you, a constitution saving throw.
I have a plus 1 to that. Okay. 11.
You're still pretty blind.
Figures. All right.
But you're pretty convinced that because you managed to hit that guy and you're fairly certain you're pointing in the right direction, you might be Daredevil. Then we go back up to Dumas.
Okay, Dumas. So he's got a guy attacking him, hasn't he?
Yep, right in your face.
Cool. I'm going to cunning action disengage.
Yep.
And I'm going to scoot back 15 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I want to stick with the theme here. I am going to ball up my hands and unleash another burst of energy. At second level, I'm going to cast Fire Lance, but just because I can, for no particular reason, I'm going to change the damage to Frost type.
How do you do that?
That's what my subclass of Space Wizard does.
Your subclass of Space Wizard means you can do the same thing, but slightly differently.
Yes, exactly. I can change elemental damage types.
Okay, I like it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
This does cost me more talent points, but I feel like I want to stay with the frost theme.
That seems like a legitimate reason to do things.
Yeah. There's a really funny thing that happens when you multiclass in this game. I can only cast second level spells, but I can literally fucking cast them for days. I have like more talent points than I know what to do with.
Really?
Yeah.
So do specialists use talent points as well, or are they...
I was the artifice type of specialist, which was essentially the arcane trickster from 5e, which means
talent points.
And there's very specific rules about how to calculate your talent points if you were an artifice or one of the other sort of third casters. I can only cast second level, but I can literally cast them for fucking days. It's great. So I'm going to cast a little Frost Lance here at second level.
Tricky.
And that's a 19.
That's going to hit.
Shaboy. Ooh, that's 19 damage.
Describe how you kill him.
I sort of ball up my hands and they go all icy and cold, and I unleash this beam of icy energy that sort of strikes him in the chest. And I look down at him and say, "No one will cry for you, but I'll pine." That's my my icy related pun. Yes, I spent an extra.
It took a different angle.
I spent an extra 3 talent points just so I could make that pun.
I'm going to give you inspiration for that.
I didn't have anything lined up for a fiery death.
Okay. Good. I'm glad that.
Good news, only 2 talent points.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but the pun.
Hud, it's now your go. You've just heard something terrible from down the corridor. You don't know what, but a strange sensation.
Disturbance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one guy's in close combat with me, isn't he?
He is.
So, with my speed shot feat, I can shoot without disadvantage in close combat.
I know speed shot. Don't worry about it.
Cool. I'm going to shoot him twice with my micro cannon then, in that case.
Okay.
Is my microcannon a one-handed weapon, by the way, or is it two-handed?
I think it's one-handed.
Oh, in that case, I get a bonus shot with my pistol, then.
It's kind of really done you the whole campaign, hasn't it?
You kind of wear it. You can't do anything else with that arm, but the way I designed it, when I imagined it, it's kind of worn like a gauntlet.
Oh, so it's a mega blaster.
Cool. So, first shot. 21. Non-natural.
Hit.
And that does 12 points of damage in that first one.
Okay. He is regretting charging into combat with you.
The second shot is a 20, non-natural.
Hit.
This one does 13 points of damage.
And you blast him away from you and flies across the corridor with a gaping hole in his chest.
And I say, because my micro cannon does force damage, I just say, no Come need on. To force the issue. Mm. Fuck you guys.
I'll allow it.
And then I'm going to use my bonus action from my speed shot feat to fire a shot of my pistol at the one that's attacking Dora.
Go for it.
I feel like we need one of these for every death in this episode, by the way.
Oh, God.
God, the pressure.
If you can't think of one, just use the dodge action until the death.
Yeah.
Oh, so that is a 23.
That hits.
Only 4 damage this time.
Okay. This guy, reeling from this energy blast from Dora, not quite sure how she managed to hit him, didn't really see what was going on the other side of the corridor. You clip him in the shoulder and he's completely unaware that it was coming. He's a little bit surprised, a little bit taken aback, a little bit indignant.
He started it, so...
Well, yeah. It's now Reboot / Drone's turn.
Cool. Is there anyone else in our corridor alive at the moment, or...?
Dumas. And seeing as it's like one corridor that goes off in different directions and presumably meets up again at some point, somewhere along the corridor, you know that Dora and Hud are probably alive.
Cool.
A less facetious way of saying that is, no.
No. Can I move down the corridor, then?
In which direction?
Guess the way we're heading. If it looks like they meet up.
Sure.
Cautiously, keeping an eye out for anything else.
Okay, you can do that. Next up is the guy who is on his own against Dora and Hud. And he is just going to drop his rifle and turn and run.
Hang on a second. I've got something for this.
Is that a pun?
Better be a pun.
Guys, I've got something for this.
Christ. So much pressure in this session. Puns aren't my wheelhouse, guy. I do observational stuff. A lot of it's race-based. Leave me alone.
You'll get on very well with my drone.
I feel like we come at it from very different angles.
Sounds like a buddy cop movie.
Oh, that would be a buddy cop movie. So, does he run past me?
No, he's running away from you.
Okay. Down the corridor towards Dumas and Rebook.
Yeah, in a sense, yes.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a circular corridor, from what you can tell. So, the answer to that question either way is yes. He's running in the direction that you were originally moving.
Okay, right, that's fine.
From you, but also, if you stand still, towards you.
Yeah, he's also running towards you.
No, I can't do anything.
Okay. Dora, it's now your go.
Styblast. Blind, down the corridor. If it's still possible.
You have no idea whether or not it's still possible.
All right. I'll run screaming towards where the action's going on and cast Psyblast as I'm going.
You start running, and this is really weird for you because you're watching Dora start running and she just seems to skip. Like, she jumps about 15 feet ahead. You don't see it happen. It's like she teleported. So, Dora, you actually move past this guy.
But to me, I'm still going to cast it in the direction that I'm running. So did I cast it before I skipped, or do I cast it after I skipped?
I kind of want it to be after.
Yeah, fair enough.
After's fine, because after he's still ahead of you. Like, you don't notice this happens. For you, you feel like you're just running the normal distance and speed that you can run. But to anyone observing, you've gone further than you should have done.
Arms are flailing.
Yeah, we're on an attack with disadvantage. Why not? Let's see what happens.
Boom. Boom. 14.
It doesn't hit. You don't know it doesn't hit. You just don't hear it connect.
I laugh and point again, though.
Yes, you don't know you've gone past him, so you laugh and point, but he's still behind you now.
Just laughing down the corridor at nothing.
Yeah. And then we're back to Dumas.
Oh, do I need to roll for my constitution thing as well?
Oh yeah, roll your constitution save again.
Go on. 13.
That fails. You're still blind.
You're in the right direction. Well, not technically.
Dumas, it's your go, and as you start to move to react, you feel kind of like you're moving through sludge, like you're not quite sure why, but everything seems to have slowed down around you and you are restrained for this turn.
Well, I guess it's the next person's turn then. If that's the thing, I guess I sit here slightly miffed.
I've been more confused. I shout,
oh no!
The thing is, you can do that, and you wouldn't be aware of this, but no one can really hear it.
That just makes it even worse.
It's a little bit sad.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah, I take this community chest that says "miss a turn," put it to the bottom of the deck, and contemplate my existence.
I have no response. Hud, you have just seen Dora jump through space and then carry on running. Throw a Psy Blast down a corridor and laugh at nothing.
Pretty normal Dora behavior there.
There's a confused looking Eldorai sort of running after Dora now.
I'm also quite confused. How far away is the Eldorai?
He'll be about 40 feet away from you.
Okay. I'm going to run 30 feet and see if I skip as well.
Does skipping speed up your running or slow it down with all the bouncing?
Generally, yes. It, you know, adds a little spring to your step and it makes shopping a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean in the game? Right. I don't know.
Although other shoppers tend to move out of your way, which actually is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them in your way. There's a pandemic going on. They need to keep their distance.
Even if there wasn't.
You don't skip.
Oh.
You just run along 30 feet.
In that case, yeah, then I'd shoot the old Aurora in the back twice.
Cool.
Like an American policeman. See, I told you guys.
It's going to be really sad when this is released and that's happened again fairly recently.
I mean, social ills aside, it's a pretty safe world to go to.
Yeah. It's not going to not happen, is it?
I mean, Marvin Gaye made a whole album about everything that's topical now in the 70s, so... If he can do it, so can I. Just badly. Anyway.
I think you're doing a great job.
So that is a 28 to hit with the first shot.
That hits.
And that is quite a lot of damage. 18 points of damage.
The shots lift him off his feet a little bit as he's still running, and he skids forwards. Do I roll a dexterity saving throw with disadvantage?
Times, good times. That's actually pretty good. I rolled a 17 and a 20, so 19.
Yeah, so you hear these shots behind you, and you hear these footsteps that scuff a little bit, and this guy tumbles forward and nearly crashes into your legs, but you manage to jump to the side as you laugh at nothing.
Would you say that I kind of skip to the side?
No, it's a jump. More of a hop, actually.
Damn. Can I then point and laugh at whatever kind of skidded past me? Using my reaction?
I'm going to say yes, but you're still going to be pointing in slightly the wrong direction.
Good. Love that.
And that is the end of this fight. Dory, you can make your saving throw again. If not, we can just say that a minute has passed and you can see again.
If I make it, that's a natural one.
You do not make it. You spend another 40 seconds blind.
In that 40 seconds, John, can I check one of the bodies near me?
Yep.
Can I, while he's doing that, stumble around going, "Hud, where are you, mate?" And like bashing into walls. Like
I stay very, very quiet.
Trying to feel for him, basically.
I got a 13 on my investigation.
Well, you're just looking to see what he's got on him?
Yeah.
So he has an auto rifle, combat knife, and a grand blade.
Does he have any sort of communications equipment on him or like pass keys or anything like that?
And there's a headset, not like a full headset. It's like one of those things. Basically, it's like a Bluetooth speaker.
That one of those curly wires that goes up a Secret Service person's ear.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take that off of him. I'm going to put it to my ear and see if I can hear anything.
Oh, it was attached. You pulled out his brains.
Ew. I hate the future.
there's no transmissions coming in that you can tell. It would be easy to tell if there were because it's just sound and you've put it next to your ear. Luckily, all creatures have very similar methods of hearing.
That is lucky.
Isn't it?
Thank God for simultaneous evolution. Parallel evolution.
I believe the word's convergent.
Convergent evolution. That's the one.
Hmm.
The not more trapezoid you know. Evolution or whatever the fuck I would say.
Although I would have also accepted coincidental.
What about incidental?
Well, what a coincidence. We both have ears.
Coinkydinky evolution.
What's the deal with ears?
Is there a god or is it just the most efficient way of hearing sound?
I think the worst one was when Star Trek first introduced Klingons and they were just white guys that were browned up.
With mustaches.
That was most TV back then, I think.
I know.
Yes, pretty racist.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Well, they all had the first interracial kiss on TV, so, you know.
Yeah, and they had that episode with the people with the white slash black.
Oh, yeah! The guys that were half black, half white, and the guys that are half white, half black that hated each other.
I guess having the first interracial kiss on TV does allow you to have 1.5 blackface episodes. I think that's fair.
No, there were a lot of...
They definitely bought a bit of good faith there, didn't they?
Like the Klingons were always in blackface. It happened a lot.
Oh, well, in that case, for your fucked up Space Trek, You're done fucked up.
It was very progressive brackets for the 60s.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
From this dangerous ground we found ourselves. Yet again.
I'm pretty sure that in one of the Star Trek films, Christopher Lloyd was blacked up as a Klingon.
Oh no, I liked him.
And that's Star Trek 3.
Yeah. Oh, he was, yeah, it was Search for Spock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was he the guy with the eye patch?
No, you're thinking...
Christopher Lloyd?
Oh shit, no, Christopher Lloyd was a Klingon a lot of times.
Oh, Christopher Lloyd.
So was Michael Dorn, but, you know, he wasn't in brown face, so it was okay. He was in vagina forehead.
Which is offensive to a completely different demographic.
That's fine. They don't watch sci-fi.
This makes a lot more sense because I'm aware when you say Christopher Lloyd, you mean now I've twigged that you mean Doc, Emmett Brown. And I'm pretty sure like the Pagemaster possibly was that him as well. But this entire conversation, I've been really confused because I've been thinking about Christopher Judge. I was just so confused because he's black already.
Christopher Judge.
As in Teal'c?
Yeah. Oh, that's Christopher Judge. My mum had a huge crush on him to the point where I couldn't watch Stargate in the same room as her. She'd be fucking disgusting.
He's more famous now for being the voice of Kratos, isn't he? In the God of War games.
Oh, was he?
He also had a cameo in Dark Knight Rises.
Did he?
Yeah. He was on a bridge at some point. I don't really remember it. I just
remember it. That's not a cameo. That's being an extra.
Judge,
yeah, but how famous you are, that's the kind of like shades of grey, aren't they?
He's a named character.
Just put George Clooney in the background in a park in your like artsy film. Like, it's not a cameo. He's just
I'm pretty sure that's a cameo.
Classic Bosley move.
That is a cameo. Because then if you credit him and give his character a name, then it's a cameo.
But he's mercenary security number 4 in Dark Knight Rises, just for your record.
What a title.
I mean, that's some fucking niche cameo shit right there.
I'm just appreciating the speed of that Googling. That was impressive, Mike.
George Clooney is Batman in Batman and Robin.
Okay,
that's good. A cameo.
And who was Christopher Judge in Batman and Robin?
The judge in Batman and Robin was mercenary security number 3.
Oh shit, he got demoted. Oh no. Christopher Judge, what did you do to Tim Burton?
No, whoa. Batman and Robin was not Tim Burton.
No, I know. Tim Burton kind of ruined Batman for a long time.
Oh, what?
This dark and curly bullshit.
I'm totally with you. I mean, I'm going to go on the record here and just flat out say that Tim Burton is a fucking hack who has become ultimately famous and rich for ripping off Henry Selick in every fucking way.
100%.
Henry Selick is a fucking genius and Tim Burton has ripped him off for every fucking penny he's worth.
Yeah, he's like a weird photocopy of it.
And Tom, you can leave that in the edit.
You want that on the record? I mean, that's strong. There's a lot of vitriol behind those words.
Oh, fucking Tim Burton.
He is awful.
Who did he rip off?
Henry Selick, the guy who like actually made Nightmare Before Christmas and Coraline and the guy who developed that whole aesthetic. But everything has Tim Burton's fucking name on it.
He is annoying.
What's his name? Tim Burton is credited as just a writer for...
But he then took that aesthetic that Henry Selick made and then applied it to every fucking dark and curly thing he could get his fucking dirty mitts on.
It's dark
you
and curly.
You can't be stealing the stick, can you? Like, someone can originate in the stick and then it gets taken on.
Because it's not really, like, it's not an original aesthetic. And it also...
No, it's not, but he gets credited for it. It's one of those things that is possibly less his fault than other people's, but he gets credited. Yeah. For this.
But he never develops it. He never changes it. It's the same aesthetic for everything.
I mean, you can say that for architects, though. Like, they always just sort of like, they do like columns for 500 years and then it's fucking.
The last time I saw an original house on a new build estate, don't get me started. They're all ripping off Red Row Homes.
That's how art works. You have oeuvres, you have kind of movements, don't you? And like, you can't really... I think it's an unfair amount of vitriol you throw at
art imitates life, is what I'm trying imitates to say. Art, you know, and we're all here to learn from art and life.
What is time, guys? What is time?
Time is Mike, are you construct. Starting a cult?
This sounds a lot like you starting a cult.
I'm growing out my hair.
The past isn't real. The only thing that is important is now.
Will living in the now affect my memories? No, that's a stupid question. Why would you ask it?
Time is a construct, but not in the same way that scientists have been saying it's a construct for years. No, it's in a construct in a philosophical way rather than a scientific way.
I mean, I will give Tim Burton that he did Beetlejuice, and Beetlejuice is pretty fucking cool.
Fish as well. I like Big Fish.
Big Fish is good.
That's not quite as dark, but just as curly.
It is pretty curly.
I am joking, though, Tom. You can probably edit out this whole Tim Burton section.
If you're listening...
I mean, I think you should keep it in. This is quite good content.
It's important stuff. Henry Selick directed James and the Giant Peach as well.
Fucking great film.
And he was an animator on The Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, Basil the Great Mouse Detective. Was Henry Selick involved in that?
He was an animator.
Oh, amazing. It's not my favourite film.
Uncredited animator.
It's Basil the Great Mouse Detective is by far the most underrated Disney movie ever made. That is something you can keep in your podcast.
I would second that.
Accurate statement.
Who made Fiverr's Tale?
That was Don Bluth.
Yeah, that was the guys who did Land Before Time.
Great fucking film.
Oh, I'm so glad there's a bit of love for Basil the Great Mouse Detective. Sit, Cody, sit. Fucking great film. What was it? Fidget, was it? Fucking peg leg.
Terrible bat with a fucking peg leg.
Oh, dear.
I am not arrogant. Love that film.
Your name's fucking Nottingham, mate.
I always thought that. I was like, really? Like, not going to change your name to like Mouse again? Like...
I did not know that Ratigan was Vincent Price.
Yes.
Terrifying. That bit of the Big Ben at the end.
Anyway, we can move on with this.
Yes, sorry. You're in a corridor. Dora eventually regains her sight after Hadders looted a body. Well, I mean, did you want to take any of that stuff that you found?
He took the earpiece with the brains on.
Yeah, just the earpiece.
All right, are you just leaving that in?
Yeah, for now, I'm going to comm Dumas on our comm beat and say, Dumas, I think we should all link up again. I've got something I want you to take a look at for me.
You're not restrained anymore.
Oh, aye. I'll. Do I know which direction they are?
The opposite direction to the way that Rebook has just gone.
Reboot, a message, Hood back. Is it something you can bring with you? Because Reboot seems to have gone on a jolly. I should probably not leave him alone.
Yeah, fair enough. Things are getting a bit weird down this end of the corridor anyway, time and space wise. I pause for a second, look down the corridor. I don't think Dora's blind anymore. I think she's just an idiot. So I'll grab her and I'll come back to meet you.
Hi.
I'm here, Dora. How many fingers am I holding up?
Dora's going to act blind. For as long as possible.
Okay. And like, well, in that case, Hud's going to hold up a hand with five fingers. How many fingers am I holding up?
I was just going to like do a John Travolta and face off down Hud's face.
I just slap her just as hard as I can.
Roll a sack with advantage. No, not with advantage. She's not blind.
Can I attempt to dodge then?
Okay, not committed.
Yeah, no, I want to see...
It was a bad roll. It was a 9.
It like turns at the last second and gets distracted by a noise. What was that over there?
Starts, oh, like, good, you recovered. Let's go. And then Hud turns around and starts walking down the corridor.
Well, I'm glad we did that.
So you managed to fairly easily catch up with Dumas. Presumably Dumas is waiting.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Reboot, what are you doing?
No, I don't think Reboot was going too far ahead. It was more just scouting and making sure there was no one who's an immediate threat. So he's waiting around a corner to pounce.
So Dumas, Dora, and Hud all round the corner and you pounce on them, then what?
Not on them, John.
Oh, my bad.
Honestly.
The moustache threw me off.
just for our listeners, John and Tom are currently sporting moustaches. A little bit of context for people there.
The chat says, don't worry, I'm legally allowed near children.
Just so everyone listening knows, our general text channel does actually have that as the last line.
No context.
No context.
Yeah, thank God we don't open our Discord server up to the public. Jesus Christ. Things they'd see.
Is this chat encrypted?
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's not incriminating. It's just really fucking stupid. But...
All right. You're in a corridor. There are some corpses around. Go.
Oh, can I quickly loot them for any cubits? Cubits.
They don't carry
no.
I'm going to pass the earpiece to Dumas and ask him, hey, Dumas, is there any way you could trace the signals from one of these things? Maybe work out where any more guys are.
Can I use my wrist-mounted computer that I presumably own and do some reverse triangulation with a single point of origin?
No, I wasn't going to say no until you used those last five words.
Why? That was the most actually accurate part of the whole fucking sentence.
Yeah, no, that was the bit that sold it.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. So
until you said that.
Oh, I heard it the other way around. You were going to say yes, but then I was said something that vaguely made sense.
I know. The only thing that you needed to say that would have been like an instant yes would have been if you reverse the polarity.
Yeah, I feel like that one's done.
I don't know. I don't think that's ever done.
I mean, you've always got zoom and enhance in your back pocket, so...
Yeah, well, zoom and enhance. Rotate it 90 degrees. How? It's a fucking JPEG, Stu. Literally, Stu's been pissing me off with his rotate it 90 degrees shit.
Roll Stu, I know that's you. I don't even have to look up from my computer. I'm not rotating shit. I am up to here with your shit today, Stu.
He's the Tim Burton of image enhancement.
He's just capitalising on what Van Gogh did.
If I do this and this, I can make it old-timey.
I can make it old West colour.
Sorry, John, did you want me to do a thing?
Yes, could you roll a computer check to see if you can track the origin?
I motherfucking can, there's a 29.
Oh, by the way, guys, I forgot to mention this. I did cast Sensory Boost last session, which gives you a +2 to attacks and saving throws. It lasts 8 hours.
That's probably a good thing to mention after we've finished the fight.
Well, yeah. Apologies.
Yeah. Temporary hit points on my character sheet, and I didn't know where.
Oh, wait. Maybe I did the temporary hit points thing.
Yeah, I had temporary hit points as well.
Well, that must be it.
Oh, yeah, that's why that's on there. Good God, I should stop getting so drunk.
So, Dumas, running through your wrist computer and doing some quick calculation engineering and reverse triangulation, you know that there are more people wired into this network, wired into this bandwidth on the Crucible. You pick out about 3, and you know that they are on this level. Exactly where is harder to pinpoint, and beyond that, it gets a little bit fuzzier because then it starts meshing with the Eldari fleet that are in orbit around the Crucible. So beyond this level, it's a little bit harder. But you can pick up there are 3 different points that this is connected to within a level that you're on.
I turn to Hood and say, there's at least 3 other people on this entire Crucible.
On this level of this Crucible?
I said at least.
All right, okay.
Minimum 3.
That is accurate.
Aye.
That's, you know, more helpful than you think it is, but less helpful than I'd like it to be.
I think that's fair. How big is this Crucible? Because I was kind of imagining them to be like small moon-sized. No Death Star jokes.
They are small moon-sized.
Hang on, so you're telling me this isn't a moon?
So there's at least 3 people, but it could be a couple of hundred, maybe even 1,000.
Well, I mean, small is a relative term, isn't it?
I feel like once it gets to a super small moon, it's just not a moon.
It's just a rock.
It's just a rock, or a satellite at best.
Yeah, I think small moon you could easily fit a couple of hundred people on.
Yeah, yeah. But there's at least three.
What I'm going to do then is I'm going to switch on my sensory jammer that I've got. So this device counteracts the effect of any electronic motion sensor within 50 feet. The jamming signal can be detected with a successful DC-14 intelligence computers check. This device has no effect on detection-based Esper talents or techniques. So it's just electronic detection. Okay. I'll switch that on. So as we move through, we can at least try and get the drop on people if they're using sort of like any kind of electronic snooping.
Good, good.
Yeah, so I didn't cast sensory boost last time. It was bolster, so the temporary hit point thing. So belay my last thing.
Belay my bolster.
No, belay my sensory boost.
Oh, right, sorry. Belay my boost.
Accept my bolster.
I mean, that's nicely counteracted the hit points I lost in the luscious. Lost in the last battle.
Did you just say okay. Luscious?
I said delicious, but also yeah. Luscious.
Luscious. Luscious is the new exclamative that all the kids are using.
That and Total Mente Fresco.
Total Mente Fresco.
I said Mike lives on the southern border between England and Wales where it's acceptable to say that things are lush.
Ah, oh, lush. Well, lush.
It's well lush. Gootlush. That's absolutely gootlush, that is. It's more like West Country.
Yeah.
Some sort of regional joke I'm too London to understand.
Yes, it is.
Fairy.
Wow, don't that's uncalled for, Mike.
Don't go to the West Country. They make wonderful cider, but their beer is shit.
A lot of strong opinions on this episode of the podcast. Like, fucking Tim Burton, the West Country. Everyone's getting it today. Tom Owen, you got any strong opinions to share?
You don't want to hear them.
Ooh.
They are wild.
Changed ever since you grew that moustache.
You, Aaron.
They're all about you.
Awkward.
I mean, if they're about me specifically as an individual, then fair enough.
Awkward.
So you are in this corridor, and let's say that the lift that you enter through is the center point. You can carry on going forward, which is going right, or you can carry on going backwards, which is left. Bear in mind, this is a circular corridor from what you can tell.
Are there no sort of doors off this circular corridor that we found it? I guess we just keep proceeding down the way that Reboot was going. Hey, let's pick a direction and just keep going to find something.
Okay.
I'm actively searching for any kind of hidden doors or anything like that.
How are you doing that?
I'm going to run my hand along the wall as we go, just feeling for any kind of seams.
That works. So you carry on along this corridor that continues to curve round gently. There's this comfortable glow emanating from the walls and floor that leaves no shadows anywhere. This weirdly soft but solid glassy surface that kind of looks like stone, kind of looks like metal, but isn't either of those things. It's actually, as you run your hand along it hard, it is warm to the touch.
So as a dwarf, I have something called stone cunning, which gives me a lot of knowledge about stone and stoneworking. Can I discern anything about the actual creation of this said tunnel?
I guess it's a lore check.
It is a lore check, so it says in this. And that would give me a 26, because I'm very good at specifically stone.
So from that, you know that this is not stone.
This guy's is not stone. And I know a thing or two about
stone. This is Marks and Spencer's stone. Bum, 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 bum.
If it were stone, I know a lot about it. But it's not stone.
But it's not stone. I don't have a bloody clue.
You know, you do have a lot of experience in natural materials and crafting. From your experience, this isn't something that can be found on a planet or mined. It has to be created.
So it's an artificial material.
It is artificial, but you don't have any point of reference for what it could possibly be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, to be honest, that's just like real life. You ask me genuinely, like, what plastic is, who fucking knows?
What is plastic?
I think it's oil.
Oil.
But how? How does oil...
Oh, shit, it's got... I remember this. I did this in secondary school.
It's one of the...
Something to do with alkenes and alkanes and polymerization.
I was just about to come in with that.
Right, so it's not plastic either.
I've got the real vivid image in my head of, like, remember when you did like GCSE chemistry and you had the diagram and it was like a big kind of container and you had like all the like levels and you had like bitumen at the bottom and then octane at the top.
Was there like a dinosaur like, skeleton in one of the levels?
You hit your bitumen.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that.
I can only assume they put oil in the fridge till it sets.
I think that's probably it. It's like if you leave a pack of Harry in a hot car in summer and then you put that in the fridge and you just get a block of...
And leave it for 3 million years, it becomes oil.
And leave it... And then plastic is born.
Then if you put it back in the fridge, it becomes the same as the wrapper it's in.
This seems bulletproof.
Circle of life.
Right?
I can see Bosley's next blog in the making.
Fucking hell.
Is he stealing all his
are
shit?
Are you from? Haribo? No, because you aren't anything. But Haribo is actually plastic.
Kids and grown-ups love it, so.
No, so this material, what you do notice whilst you're inspecting it, Dumas, is if you lean on it, if you push against it, it gives the impression of giving way. But with the intelligence check you rolled, you're aware that it's not actually moving. It's just, there's a weird sort of softness to this surface. Basically, it's very alien, especially to you. You've never really heard of a crucible before, so it's all very surprising.
Oh, I am glad I asked.
It also seems to be the source of the light in this corridor.
So the material itself seems to give off its own light?
Yeah, it's not glowing, but there's no other point of light that you can see, so it does seem to be coming from all around you.
Does it look valuable?
Yeah, but you have no idea what you could do with it.
I'm going to get out my sword and try and chisel a little bit off.
Your sword is blunted a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the risk of sounding like someone who comes to every problem with the same solution, could I maybe slap a demolition charge on it and see if we could blow a hole in this thing?
Why? It is literally miles thick.
Oh, right, so it's not hollow.
I mean, we don't know for sure.
Dumas, you're fairly certain it's not hollow.
Okay, I don't think it's hollow.
Fair enough, then. How long have we been walking around, then, at this point?
So, after about 15 minutes, you can see it before you feel it whilst you're running your hand along it. You spot a subtle change on the left side of this wall. There's a slightly raised area, and as you run your hand over it, you do find a very tiny seam. And then you spot... just to the right of where that seam is, there's a very small panel. It doesn't seem to have any buttons in particular. There's a panel of the wall that is a slightly different colour.
Panel with no buttons. Probably a lift. No, I'm going to try and lift the panel, maybe.
There's no seam. As you go to do that, your hand passes over it and a door slides open entirely noiselessly. Once it's open, there's no cracks or holes in the wall where you can see that it's moved into it. It just seems like the wall changed shape to create an opening. It's very bizarre.
That was cool. Okay. You guys cover me. I'm going to step in, see what's inside.
We take a little peek first before you go. What can we see?
So there's a small round chamber about 20 feet in diameter. And there's just a hole on the opposite side of the room that takes up about 10 feet of the floor. It's just a hole in the floor.
Like a moon door.
Kind of like a moon door.
Make the Batman fly.
But there's not anyone that Reboot could be interested in meeting. Sorry, that was a mustache joke.
There's no kids around. Okay.
So yeah, there's this circular room with a hole in the floor.
And no one's in it?
Nope, it's not a very big room.
Anything in it? Other than the hole?
Nope. Just a small round chamber with a round hole on the far side of the room.
Should we, like, put a rope around him and lower him down? Can I have a cheeky little peek over the rim?
You can.
Don't waggle your eyebrows at me.
Yeah, looking over the edge of the hole, you can see there's a chamber below. You can't make out a lot. There's a curved wall. It does seem like there is a round theme to this crucible.
Sphere.
Yeah, to this sphere. Everything seems somewhat spherical. So you can see the edge of the wall that curves a little bit. You can't see much else. It's
ladies first, HUD. A gesture to the hole.
I think you've got more experience with holes than me.
Is that referring to because I usually fill people full of holes? Magie?
I mean, it was mainly referring to you being a massive arsehole, but fair enough.
Potato, potato.
Get in the hole, Dora.
Potato, potato, and you're a twat, though. Bye! I jumped down the hole.
Wait, oh, jeez, I didn't think she'd actually do it.
R.I.P.
Oh, well.
So, as you jump into this space, there's a weird sensation of... It's like stepping off a plane into a really humid environment. You feel like you're being wrapped in a thick blanket, and you feel this warm breeze that rushes around you.
Is it like a reverse birth?
I don't know what that's like. Do you?
No comment.
All right. So the way you jump in, you expect to fall quite rapidly, but you seem to just be caught by something, and you are lowered down fairly slowly. Everyone else used to see this happen, and it doesn't look awkward or uncomfortable. She just seems to be caught as she jumps into this hole and starts.
I say, wee!
You do say wee, but it's kind of juxtaposed by the fact that you're not moving very fast.
Wee!
Like, you can make contact with everyone whilst you say that about four times.
I just shake my hands. Wee!
Dora, stop saying we. We get it. You're falling very slowly.
You wet yourself? I don't understand.
He's constantly wetting himself.
You lower through. It's hard to judge because you don't know exactly how fast you're falling, but there's at least a dozen or so meters of floor that you lower through. And then you arrive in this kind of dome-shaped chamber. Looking around, it's about 90 feet in diameter. And from where you are to the floor is about 30 feet. It appears to have been set up as some form of lab or archaeological study. There's a number of workstations and computers that have been set up. And you can see there are sections of the wall that have been marked off. And there are a couple of digital boards that are set up where images and hieroglyphs appear to have been copied across from the wall. You can see on the wall to the east of your position, there's a cylinder that's about 15 feet high and about 15 feet wide with a line down the center. You can't see any other people in here except in the center of the space there's this creature. You've not seen this creature before. You've seen a creature like it, the one that you've seen images of and holograms of. It's similar, but it's not the same. This creature hovers just off the ground. It's got an elongated squid-like head that runs into a very short torso with five tentacles that drift lazily beneath it. It's covered in scales in various shades of blue that make an almost hypnotic pattern. And then there's these five piercing red eyes that sit above five smaller tentacles that give the impression of a mouth. And that's what you see as you're lowering slowly down into this room.
I'm going to get on the comms and say it very quietly. Guys, I'm going to need some help down here because there is one ugly motherfucker.
Shit. All right, boys, get in the hole.
And then can I very quickly try and hide?
No.
Shit.
Because you're in...
No.
Because you're floating down from the ceiling to the floor.
Can he do that stealthily?
I'm going to put in the chat. This is just for you, obviously not for listeners, because they don't get access to our chat, thankfully.
Thank Christ.
But this is what you see.
We have such sights to show you.
Oh, my Lord.
That's terrifyingly cool.
All right. Well, if I can't hide, then I'm just going to shout, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all,
ooh,
as I float slowly down.
Do we hear that?
Yeah, you will.
In that case, I say, that's the signal, and jump in the hole too.
Yeah, do mass jumps in.
Well, here we go.
So copy and paste that description as you start to float down. Hud, you do appear in the room before Dora has actually touched the floor.
What?
It's quite slow. It's a slow descent.
Oh, I thought you meant I touched the floor before Dora does.
No, you appear in the room, like you come in through the ceiling whilst Dora's about 10 feet off the ground. But as you see this thing hovering silently in the center of the room, you are gripped by a sense of panic. You get this sensation of like a cold hand grabbing the back of your neck as you are flooded with adrenaline, because you are certain that this is something you've encountered before, although you don't recognize the specific shape and coloring of it. This bears a resemblance to a shadow that you've seen elsewhere in your history, in your backstory, as it were. Whereas then you couldn't make out any shape or physicality. This time you can see its specific form.
Okay. I come over to the guys. Don't wait till you hit the ground. Pump as much lead into it as you can. Kill it fast. And then I bring my grenade launcher up and I fire 2 phosphorus rounds into it.
It's the bloody Kraken.
So I'll let you do that and then I guess we'll roll initiative. Phosphorus. So it works the same way you firing a grenade normally works. So you make your dex checks.
Yep.
With proficiency.
So that's a 19 on the first one. And that's 10 points of explosive damage and 3 points of fire damage.
What's the DC saving throw?
It's 14.
Okay. Fail. And fail. That's an auspicious start.
And then the second one. Ooh, that one's not as good. That is a 17 to hit.
Okay. And it succeeds that saving throw, so it will take half damage. So what was the damage on the first one, sorry?
So, I think, so the damage on the first one, I think it was 10 explosive and 3 fire.
Okay.
And the second one was 6 explosive, 4 fire.
Okay. These explosions happen around it. The tentacles twitch a little bit. And it drifts back slowly. And then I guess everyone roll initiative.
18.
17 for me.
23 for Rebook. And 14 for the drone.
15 for Dora.
So, I'm going to get you guys to do this now. So, can one of you roll a d6?
I'm going to.
Okay. I got a 1.
Okay.
Damn it, Mike.
I should have.
Okay, first up is Rebook.
So, Rebook's going to. I think it's been less than an hour since the last fight.
Yes.
So, as a bonus action, I'm going to move my Huntless Mark over to this tentacly prick.
Yep.
Yes, so I'm going to take 2 attacks. And because he hasn't acted yet, right, I get advantage on those.
Don't you get to make an extra attack as well? Sorry, I'm just...
No, I don't think extra attack. It's...
Are you not a hunter?
No, I've got my drone instead.
Oh, yeah,
you've got levels of warrior where you can do your action surge. Haven't you? I'm
saving my surprise until later, Aaron. But yes. I shall be doing that afterwards as well.
I was specifically referencing the hunter.
Cool. I've got the sharpshooter feat, sniper feat.
So you're going to take a -5 penalty to your attack roll and a +10 to your damage roll.
Yes. So first one, guffs it. I'm assuming at a 14.
Yeah.
Second one is much better. Like that. It's an 18.
That will hit.
So that one does 25 damage. And then I'm going to action surge and take the attack action again for 2 more attacks.
Okay.
Again, pew-pew, Ely.
Pew-pew, pew-pew.
Excellent. That's a 24.
Hits.
And a... Oh, probably misses. 17.
That does miss.
And that's 24 damage this time.
2 of those shots hit, and you can see it dips a little bit as the shots hit. Dumas, it's now your go.
No name, is there?
No.
So I can't get my sneak attack. I will cast Fire Lance on him at 2nd level.
Okay.
Yes, so my hands become wreathed in flame. And that's a 22.
That'll hit.
Yay! So that's 14 damage. And he has disadvantage on his next attack.
Okay.
Do you want me to check the specific wording of that?
I mean, I kind of trust you. But yeah, in case there's something specific that I need to keep in mind.
Well, I'll tell you what, you carry on and I will check.
All right.
And if there's anything that is more complex than that, I will let you know.
Yeah.
I think it's Guiding Bolt.
Okay. No, Guiding Bolt would give advantage on the next attack against it.
Oh, right, okay. In that, yes, you... Oh, right.
There is one that is that. It is Tracer Strike. HUD, it's your go. Can you roll a d8 for me?
Okay.
Just at the start of your turn.
4.
Oh, hang on, wait, sorry, no, hang on. It still takes the 14 damage, mm-hmm. but the disadvantage is a con save. Sorry, apologies, there is a save against the disadvantage.
No problem. I'm pretty sure it makes it. It got a 23.
Yes, my DC is definitely not 23.
Okay, you rolled a 4 on your d8, so whilst everyone else seems to be still lowering, you are held in place for a second, and you are considered restrained.
Can't move at all.
You can't move. I think you can still take an action.
Hang on. Can I speak?
You can scream.
But I have no mouth.
But in space, no one will hear you.
Nice. Great loading.
Let me just double check. Restrained is... Your speed becomes 0. Attack rolls against you have advantage. Your attack rolls have disadvantage. And you have disadvantage on dexterity saving throw. So you can still do stuff. And to be fair, you couldn't really move anyway. You are in this... I'm going to tell you what it's called. You're in this grav ladder. It is lowering you down. You can't move out of it.
Has this thing had an action yet?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to say to everyone over the comms, if this thing's what I think it is, it doesn't like fire or light. So light it up. And then I'm going to shoot it with my last phosphorus round.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that hits with a 25 non-natural.
That will hit.
So it's DC 14 dexterity.
That is a fail. That's a big fail. It doesn't seem too fussed by your actions so far.
Fair enough.
You can tell you're doing damage to it, but it doesn't seem to be reacting terribly much to it.
So that's 8 explosive damage and 6 fire damage. Because I've hit, I want to use one of my commando stunts. I'm going to use Flash Burst. So I can unleash a burst of energy on my target. I can add a stunt die to the damage roll. And the target mm-hmm. must make a dexterity saving throw or become blinded until the end of his next turn. So it's a DC 15 dexterity saving throw or be blinded.
Yeah, it rolled a natural 20.
Okay. Well, it still takes another 5 points of damage.
Okay.
And then for my second attack... I'm going to shoot it with my micro cannon.
Okay. Still have disadvantage on that.
So that's force damage, that one.
Mm-hmm.
27 non-natural.
With disadvantage, goddamn.
I'm acting before it, so I wouldn't normally have advantage.
Cancelling so, out.
Yeah.
Damn.
And that is... So that's 18 points of force damage on that one. Does that do more damage to it?
It does about the same amount of damage. Like, you're not damaging it. You're not getting the impression that it's resistant to anything in particular. It's just, in terms of its reactions to you, it doesn't seem phased. It looks hurt, but not phased. Like, it looks really fucking hurt.
Do I recognize it as the thing that I fought before?
It's odd. Yes, but also no, because... Essentially, the impression you get is that this is the thing, but it looks more physically there than it was when you fought it before. When you fought it before, it was a shadow. It didn't entirely exist where you existed, whereas this time it seems entirely present.
Cool.
Next up, it's its turn. And it drifts forward about 40 feet. So that'll put it, once Thora lands, within 30 feet of her. And its red eyes search up. And first off, it's going to launch an attack against you, Hud, which it has advantage on because you are restrained. This is going to hurt. Just to let you know. And you take 31 points of damage as this beam strikes into you. It's hard to tell where this comes from, but the next beam comes out of its form and strikes into Dora. And that's a 25 to hit.
Nah, misses. Actually, wait. Have I got anything for this?
Do you have space shield?
That's not going to help. I think I get something later where I can repel attacks with my reaction, but now I don't have it.
You take 24 points of damage. And then it's Dora's turn. Dora, you are just about touching down as this beam strikes into you and there's this horrible crippling pain that runs through you. But then your feet are on the ground and you're able to move freely.
Oh, the absolute bell end. And hearing what Hood has said, I am going to, about fire and light, I'm going to cast Flame Blast. So a spiral of fire forming a line 100 feet long and 5 feet wide blasts out in the direction of the beast. Each creature in that line, obviously it's just him, has to make a dexterity saving throw.
It's a 24.
Okay, but you still take half damage.
Okay.
Which is 8d6.
Oh.
So you take 16 points of fire damage.
Okay. Oh, also, I forgot, at the start of its turn, Pud, can you roll a d8?
Oh, okay.
It's fire damage. It's on fire because of your grenades.
3.
Okay.
Then I also now run in the opposite direction of the beastie,
mm-hmm.
as far as I can go.
You can go about 20 feet, and then you're at the wall.
Excellent. Nice. Is there anything I can hide behind, like a desk, or not hide, but like take cover behind?
Yeah. It's not quite away from the beastie, but you can run about 20 feet diagonally away from it and still manage to take cover behind the desk.
This party's lack of anyone willing to get involved in melee is really hampering my sneak attack shenanigans.
Next up, it's the drones go.
Are you saying you miss packs? Is that what you're saying?
I just miss anybody going into melee so I can use my sneak attack.
I mean, speak of the devil, Tom. So the drone's going to fly in.
To Why close would reach it do that?
And take the dodge action.
Okay.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Even I don't know how that's going to go. Then we go back up to the top of the round. So can someone roll a d6?
Maybe not me this time.
Okay, here we go. D6. 5.
Okay. Rebook, it's your go.
Cool. So bonus action, I'm going to activate my shield barrier.
Mm-hmm.
To up my AC and then take 2 attacks against this guy.
Go for it. You, by the way, will have touched down on the ground at this point.
Fabulous. Well, it's a natural 1 with the first one, and it, fucking hell, it's a 2 with the second one, so like a 11 with the second attack. So they both miss.
You are surprised to find that as you're firing, you don't hit him. Like, he's not small. Like a giant floating squid in the middle of the room.
Rolled a 1 and a 2, that's fucking shameful. I'm going to run, and anywhere else in cover I can hide? Or do I have to crouch next to Dora?
If you run over to Dora, you'll be able to take cover, but otherwise there's nothing else that's particularly in range.
Yeah, I'm going to leg it over there.
Are they hiding behind a desk, did you say?
Yeah.
That'll definitely stop any of its attacks.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's Rebook's lot.
Okay. Dumas, you also just about touched down.
Well, as there's an ally within 5 feet.
Some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
I'm just going to fire at it with my rifle.
Okay.
Oh, it's... What do I add to this? Sorry, I decided to confuse myself.
Why would you do that?
I know, right? I mean, I rolled a 19 on the dice, but I've lost where on the sheet that adds my things.
Well, your proficiency is +3. I'm assuming you're using your dex, which is bare minimum +3. So you're at about a 25.
I am about. I'm a 26, actually. So Shazam. So that's with my laser sniper rifle. That is 22 damage.
Oh.
Pew pew sneak attack.
Pew fucking pew.
Cuthbert Dibble and Grub.
Good lord.
Wait, what?
That strikes in and you can see it's pierced a hole through one of the bridges along its ridged head.
What cunning actions can I have? Oh, yeah, I can't. Nothing good. I'm just going to... I mean, everyone else is hiding behind that table, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand very still and hope that its vision is based on movement.
I mean, I will say that there are other desks. It's just that within 30 feet, there aren't other desks.
Yeah, but I really feel like there's a good chance its vision might be based on movement.
All right, well, you've watched a lot of films, so...
Yeah, I really have. I'm going to be imperceptibly still.
It's got a lot of eyes, so surely.
Use your bonus action then to hide, roll a stealth.
I've got cunning action. I can use my bonus action to hide.
So use that, do that.
It's like Drax in Guardians.
Yeah, my stealth is really good, so that's a 21.
That is pretty good.
Imperceptibly still. It thinks I'm like a column. I assume you're the DM.
I've not really given you guys an idea of this thing's size, I've realized. Do you want that?
Yeah, I feel like that would be good.
Tell me how big it is.
It is classified as huge.
Oh.
Good.
I imagined it being smaller.
Humble brag.
Officially huge.
Yes, it is actually classified as huge. It is.
It's classified as huge.
It's about 2.5 times the height of HUD.
Oh, I imagined it to be much smaller.
I said like 2.5 times the size of Dumas, so a human size.
It's about 15 to 20 feet high, and it's about 5 feet off the ground. So, you know, it's not a small creature, but you can tell it's also, it's not doing great. Quite a lot of wounds and holes in it. But next up, it's HUD's turn. HUD, you are still descending. You cannot move anywhere at the minute. You're still caught in this grav ladder.
So, scraping the bottom of the barrel, he's going to bring up his grenade launcher again. Do you have the stats for those Lucent and Graphitic grenades?
I do. So, a Lucent, do you want me to just describe them to you?
Please.
Okay, so Gravitic. I'll go Gravitic first because I'm going alphabetically. In addition to a wave of crushing damage, each target that fails their save versus this grenade is incapacitated until the next turn. The damage is 1d10 force. Lucent, the grenade deals no damage, instead flaring with an intense glow of bright light at a 20-foot radius and dim light in a 15-foot radius. The glow lasts 1 minute. If the target is a creature, it must make a DC 15 constitution saving throw or become blinded for 1 minute.
Okay, so I'm going to fire a Lucent grenade at it first.
Okay.
That'll probably hit with a 27.
Yep, that'll hit. And it fails its save.
Cool, so it's blinded.
It is blinded.
And then I'll hit it with a Graphitic grenade. So that 1d10 force damage on top of the 2d6 normal.
It's just 1d10 force damage.
Just 1d10.
But on top of that, it would become incapacitated.
Okay.
If it fails its save, I believe.
So that is a 21 to hit.
Okay, so then it needs to make a dex saving throw.
It only takes 1 force damage.
It failed it, so it takes 1 force damage. And is incapacitated until the end of his next turn, and until the end of your next turn.
Excellent.
An effective turn.
I just shout, fuck you, you ugly thing, as I'm slowly descending down to the ground.
Yeah, it felt really dramatic, but the slowness of your descent really undercut what you were going
really
for.
Really undercuts it. Yep.
Yeah, it's goddamn incapacitated, though.
Oh, I'll get you. I'll get you.
Can't take actions or reactions. All right. Well, then it would be its turn.
But it's dead.
But we're going to skip right past that.
Worse than dead.
And go to Dora's turn. Dora, can you quickly roll a d8 for me?
Nah.
Yeah, do it.
That's a 7. 7? Don't do that face.
That was for all our international listeners. That was a Strictly Come Dancing reference, which went out of relevance about 3 years, maybe 4 years ago.
Hey, I still watch Strictly Come Dancing. I love that show.
Len hasn't been a judge on there for fucking ages.
Was that
from Len?
Was that genuinely a reference to Strictly Come Dancing?
Yes. I'm not ashamed.
Oh my God. Don't be ashamed, Mike.
No, don't be ashamed. I'm sad that I never really got into those shows because they seem like they're really good fun.
They really are.
To be fair, Mike's been doing his 7 reference for about a fucking year. I've just never called him on it.
I think I've been doing it since the beginning of playing D&D, so that's probably 2 years now.
So, Mike, as Dora stands up to have a look at what's going on, she kind of feels there's just a section of her torso that, as she stands up, doesn't quite come with her. It kind of feels like her body is stretching and tearing a little bit, and you take 14 damage.
Holy shit!
It only lasts for a second, but as you stand up, there's just this pulling that tears at her torso for a little bit, and then lets it go as you essentially move through a temporal distortion.
Oh, God. It's my liver finally catching up with me. Fuck, not now. Come on, Betsy. She, like, slaps.
Or maybe a temporal distortion moves through you.
Oh, it moves. Okay.
Time and space are all figments of our imagination, aren't they?
Construct, you know. It doesn't mean anything. Your thoughts are what matters. Or do they? What's what? Where am I?
Your thoughts aren't you. You're just aware of your thoughts.
Yeah, so she obviously yelps in pain. And the thing's blinded, isn't it? So I've got an advantage on attack.
You do. It's blinded and incapacitated, so yes, you do have an advantage.
I'm going to throw a mind spike at it. It's probably a bit of overkill. Ranged. Channel intact. Be a 20. 22 to hit.
That will hit.
It takes 17 points of force damage. Oh, wait, and also succeed on a wisdom saving throw or your movement is reduced by half until the end of their next turn.
You got a 19.
Yeah, you pass.
Yeah, it's still going, but you can see where it was hovering about 5 feet above the ground, that has sincerely dipped and it seems to be lilting slightly to the side. It's definitely looking pretty torn up at this point.
Natalie and Brulia?
Yes, it's torn.
That is a song that involves that word.
Hey, this is how I feel.
Mike, I just feel that was the laziest reference I've ever heard. Like, you just shouted Natalie and Brulia, like.
It's one of my favourite karaoke songs. Fuck you.
It's a great tune. It's a great tune.
It's got a great video.
I just want to skip past this conversation. It's the drone's turn.
Natalie and Brulia. Just going to keep saying that for the rest of the evening.
Yeah, fair. Drone, go.
The drone can't believe its luck so far and is just going to take a strike at it. Oh, that's not bad. 24 to hit. Oh, sorry, 22 to hit.
That'll still hit.
It does. Uh-huh. Jesus. Roll 2 ones. That's 5 slashing damage.
This is the first time it's really shown any reaction. It seems like it's scared. It pulls away from that attack, but you can still see the hovering droops a little bit more.
It's afraid! It's afraid!
I was going to say, can the drone put its hand on its face and say...
Bleep bloop! Bleep bloop!
Bleep bloop!
No,
that's really not okay. Acceptable drone.
Not cool. Bistro, Jesus.
Can someone once again roll a D8?
Does anyone figure out what he's rolling these DAs about?
Bad things happen sometimes.
Sorry, roll a D6. It's a D6 first.
D6. Okay. 2.
Okay.
The Crucible blows up. End of campaign.
Rebook, it's your go.
Is it still incapacitated and blinded?
Yes.
Right. So, 2 attacks and an offhand with that. I'm going to attack with the sharpshooter as well.
Okay.
That's a natural 20 on the first one.
Yeah, boy.
With sharpshooter?
With the sharpshooter.
Nice.
Brutal. Roll both attacks. Pile it all in.
Jesus, I'm going to need pen and paper. Right, so.
I like it when we do so much damage, we have to work it out with a pencil.
Because none of us own calculators.
Okay, so that's 42 with the first attack.
Nice.
23 to hit on the second attack.
That will also hit. You may be surprised to find out.
So 21 with the second damage.
So what are you on? 65?
63.
63. Okay, keep going.
And then with the offhand, oh, that's probably a miss. 11 to hit.
Yeah, that will miss. This is because the form has entirely dropped out of sight there. So describe how you kill it. Just to put this in context, it was on 3 hit points and you dealt 63 damage.
Oh, God. Nice.
You've also dealt, I'm pretty sure, about 200 damage during this fight between you all.
Nasty. Well, I guess with the thing blinded and like flailing around trying to figure out where it is, Reboot pops up from behind the bench and it's got 5 eyes, right?
Yeah.
It's just going to aim for like the clusters on either side of that middle eye and just blast into them with these cryo rounds.
I'm going to say with the amount of damage you've done, you can pick out each eye.
Splat, splat.
Splat, splat, splat. Thud. The drone says something inappropriate.
Down it goes.
How do you now land?
Bloody hell, you took your time, didn't you? What were you doing? Just floating about in the air.
I ignore Dora and I walk over to the corpse of this thing. I just sort of look at it for a second. And then I just say, that's for the boys. And then I spit on the corpse and then I completely waste a shot from my shoulder-mounted flamethrower just to fucking toast the corpse.
And it ignites.
I like my calamari fried.
Toasty.
I spit on the flaming corpse again, and then I take in the surroundings.
Right, I'll give you an inspiration for that, because, you know, it was a powerful moment for HUD.
Backstory.
That was really fucking cool. Can't believe we got to see that thing again.
So, yeah, you're now in this room, and like I said before, it's circular. There's a couple of panels on the wall that are labeled, like marked out. It looks like a room that has been studied by archaeologists, but the archaeologists are no longer there. There's a few workstations. There is that cylinder within the room with a line down the center of it.
That looks like it's like a chamber that opens up.
If you walk up to it, it does seem like it's essentially a door. In fact, as you walk up to it, it just opens.
Ah, shit! Exclaims Dora.
Dora, who grew up in a sci-fi universe, is surprised by automatic doors.
How the hell is this wizardry?
The door opens again. To be fair, it is still noiselessly. And there is a 10-foot in diameter cylinder within. The only remarkable feature is, on the opposite wall, there's a horizontal green lit panel.
Can I cast analyze device on it? I can't remember what that does. Basically know how it works.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, basically you figure out that this is a lift and this is the next step from touchscreen technology where you swipe up or swipe down with your hand over that panel and the lift will move up or down. You do know from having stood outside of this cylinder that there is no up from this point, there's only down.
Right.
Pessimistic.
I'm going to use a healing ampule here, unless we all want to take a little bit of a rest and spend some hit die to get back up to full.
I can take a short rest.
Yeah, I mean, I could do that if we feel safe.
Feeling a little bit, you know, shagged. And not in a good way.
Based on your observance of the temporal phenomena that are happening around, you feel fairly comfortable you could take a short rest? You know you couldn't take a long rest.
Yeah. Rather than expending my healing ampule, I've only got one left. Maybe a short rest would be...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Improver sounds like a good plan, yes.
I'm going to spend 4d10 on my heals.
I'm going to expend how many it takes for me to get back up to full health.
Get my stunt dice back too. Nice.
I've used 5 hit die. I'm not quite at full health, but I'm one off, so whatever.
That'll do.
Reboot's back up to full.
Yeah, Doomaster's back up to full as well.
Yeah, I'm up to full.
By the way, John,
Maybe
I should have mentioned this before, but if you've ever hit me with necrotic or radiant damage, I take half damage on that.
None of that was that.
Can we just go back through the entire campaign and retcon any time that you have hit me with that, though?
I don't think I've ever used either of them. I think maybe the Zamorun used a lot of necrotic, but it doesn't matter. The Xenotherium, when it hit you in this, used psychic damage.
Oh, in our minds.
Just so you know, it never got to use some of its more fun features, like Horrific Visage, where it scares the shit out of you. Or like when it hits you with one of its tentacles, it restrains you, grapples you, then on its next turn, eats you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that could have been much worse.
What is that, like instant death?
No, you would be alive inside it.
Oh boy, would I.
You'd take 48 damage. You'd then be blinded and restrained. And you'd take 5d8 psychic damage at the start of each of its turns. And then you'd have to make an intelligence saving throw or suffer a point of exhaustion. If you are reduced to 0 hit points whilst you're inside it, you die just straight up, like you are dead.
Worth it.
The only way to get out is if you deal 30 damage or more on a single turn from inside it.
I understand its rating. That's insane.
So, like, if it had managed to get within melee with any of you, basically, if Aaron hadn't incapacitated it, you'd all be in a little bit of trouble. But Aaron did. You're not.
Probably Dora as well, because I think she was the... I know she'd run away. It would have been Dumas, because he stood still.
No.
Dumas was imperceptible.
I think they would have snacked on that drone.
It would probably have gone after, to be honest, Dora and Rebook.
Imperceptible.
It might have gone for Hud as well, for Dumas as well. It has many attacks.
Not anymore, it don't.
Past tense, but what really is the past when we think about it, you know?
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so you guys take your short rest. By this point, the Xenotherium that you've killed has essentially burnt down to nothing. It's just a shadow on the ground. You step into the lift. Dora, you swipe your hand down. The doors shut behind you. And you travel down for about 10 minutes. It's quite a descent. And you don't really notice the motion, much like all of the original architecture of the Crucible. The lift is fairly perfectly designed. It kind of feels like nothing's happening aside from this low hum. And then the lift stops and there's a slight jolt as you stop moving down. And the doors once again noiselessly open into this enormous spherical chamber. And that's where we'll finish.